You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. Wow, we're going to have a great show today. I am so excited. I'm always excited. It's kind of sickening, isn't it? I've got a great guest coming on. And of course, I'm going to be answering some of you listeners' questions, mainly about a lot of relationships and what's wrong with this guy or girl or what did I do to mess up? So I'll be happy to answer those for you. Let me remind you, by the way, if you'd like to email me, if you have a question for the show or whatever, you can find me on my website at Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy.com, or of course you can email me directly at docmichelle@aol.com, and I'll be happy to, like I said, answer any questions you may have about relationship issues or self-esteem or anxiety or depression or whatever. And do remember that you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship per se. This is generally for advice giving, information, and entertainment. But I do my best to come from a professional place to help you out as well. This is no BS here. This is straight. Telling it to you straight. Kind of giving it to you and helping you get your life together. So again, you can find me on my website. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. Find out more what I am about in terms of my psychology therapies. I'm about cognitive, behavioral, a little psychodynamic, a lot of humanistic, a lot of supportive, because a lot of people need support. They don't feel like they have it in their lives. And it's not a phony support like, I see. I'm so sorry you're dealing with that. It's for real, baby. I'm for real. Had a lot of life experience. Had a lot of things going on. Felt it. I feel a lot of times. Try to help you out of that. That's what I went to school all these years for, to try to learn how to get all out of my stuff, you see, and therapy for years, to get up all out of my stuff. So anyway, that's what we do here. And again, if you'd like to, you know, you contact me on my email address, docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle. At AOL.com. And I do have a lot of listeners' questions, like I said, that I maybe will get today in a little bit. So hang in there. We got a great almost hour ahead of us. I'm going to be talking to Beverly Flaxington in a little bit. She is the author of a really helpful book. Wow. I love these books, first of all, that are really for real based on psychological findings, cognitive behavioral, thinking about things, thinking about personality style stuff. And this is one of those books, and it's called Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior. I mean, come on, it's all here. Understanding the Five Secrets to Human Behavior. And after I read this book, it's a really easy read too. It's nice, it flows. I figured out that most of what Beverly is talking about is what I talk about a lot in my therapy with people. And it just kind of breaks down communication, breaks down confusion that we all experience. And I see this all the time with couples who come in or family members. You know, couples, my husband never, he's so assertive. He's outward and he's always verbal and sometimes I'm not so verbal. These are all different styles that we all have with no judgment. But Beverly's going to tell you kind of how to break it down and understand other people and the way we think. And, you know, kind of learn to recognize, oh, this person is that kind of a style, and I can't judge that person, but here's what I have to do is understand it, and I have to go with the flow and know my style and know how to mingle those styles together. And she breaks all of her chapters, easy reads, down into the 5 secrets to human behavior. So we're going to be talking to her in just a little bit, just a real little bit. And by the way, if you'd like to call in and, comment or something like that as well, you can reach us here live, beautiful downtown Studio City, in the heart of all of the media of the world, at 323-203-0815. We are on the Ventura, as we say, here in Los Angeles. We're right in the heart of the media place. So if you would like to call us, that is cool. And we'll be talking to Beverly. As a matter of fact, let's see if we can pull her up on the air right now. Good morning, Beverly. Are you there?
Hey. I am here, Dr. Michelle. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How is it there? Now, you're out there on the East Coast right now, huh?
We are. We're in Virginia at the moment, traveling on the highway. I hope you can hear me well.
I sure can. You sound coming through loud and clear. You sound good. And I was just kind of touting you. We're talking about your great book, Understanding Other People.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's the 5 Secrets to Human Behavior. And you know, let's just jump on into it, because I can't do it as much justice as you can, because, of course, you're the author and you know what you wrote. But it's really kind of helping people understand their human behavior, and we can learn to recognize it and then sort it out and then move on in that sense. So what are you trying to teach people? What can you teach people about helping themselves and their relationships?
And what a great summary of exactly how the book is laid out you've done. What the book is teaching, I hope, what people learn as a result of reading it, is that so many of the dynamics that we get into in relationships where we are either frustrated or we feel like we're not being heard,
yep,
or that the communication is breaking down, something mm-hmm. like that, what I've Dr. Michelle, is whether it's in an interpersonal situation, in a business situation, between family members, that it's all many of the same dynamics going on underneath. And most of those dynamics actually have to do with our lack of understanding about really what's happening with the other person. Mm-hmm. And just as importantly, our lack of understanding about what's going on inside ourselves
right.
at the time that we're trying to be in relationships. So we're frustrated, we're trying to fix things, but we really just don't even understand what's at the root of the difficulties in the first place. So I hope that the book allows people, at least I call it that aha, uh-huh. that they get a bit of that aha experience to say, that's where I keep getting stuck. In this relationship, that's what keeps happening. Now, it's not going to fix everything, but I do believe that recognizing some of these dynamics is, you know, the first huge step in order to be able to make different choices.
That is so cool, because, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier, you and I, and I come from the same place, essentially, to help people, you know, and it's so difficult within ourselves, because we all have our own stuff. We all have our own early life experiences. We all have our emotions that we share. And it's so hard understanding other people or having, you know, a clear idea of why they're saying what they say or where they're coming from when we are so into our own brains. And, you know, we can only see through our own eyes. And, you know, it's so difficult to teach how to let go of that sometimes.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the things that I think is just so important. And it's very hard work. So I wrote this book. Mm-hmm. I deliberately tried to make it a small, easy-to-read book. And yet the concepts are easy to understand but much more difficult to implement. So I certainly understand, you know, even by having that aha and recognizing something, it's not as if all of a sudden everything's going to be fixed. It does take hard work on our part, because we've been doing it the same way for all of our lives.
Exactly.
And changing it isn't easy.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny, because I do, I have older clients who come to me and they say, I just, you know, I should have gotten it by now with my relationships. I should have gotten it. I still don't understand why I'm not mixing well with people, or I'm not, you know, I'm in my 30s, like 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, and I still haven't gotten it. So this, I think, will help so many people. And younger people are, you know, they're still struggling within who they are. So, yeah. You know, so a lot of people say, well, I don't know who I am yet, so I'm learning and I'm going through it. But the older people are saying, I kind of do know who I am, but I still can't go with the flow of a lot of other people, and I don't understand them. So let's get...
Absolutely. Yeah. And I like to say, Dr. Michelle, that I wish that I, you know, a lot of things we learn with age. I wish I had someone to tell me some of these things when I was in my early career. I think I wouldn't have gotten in nearly as much trouble if I understood some of these concepts.
You and me both, Bev. I hear you. I hear you, girl. So let's... What I like about your book is you break down the five secrets to human behavior, so everybody can kind of understand what these are to help other people. So, and every chapter is a secret. So why don't we just start out from the beginning? And the number one secret is, you call it's all about me. What does that mean exactly?
It's all about me. Yeah. It's funny because I think that, in general, our culture, we don't think of ego, you know, as a positive thing. So the idea, oh my gosh, it's all about me. Well, I'm such a caring person. I'm a giving person. I don't just think about myself. My point that it's all about me really is that what we don't understand and why it's the first secret is that, you know, we go into every new situation.
Right.
And I call it almost, you know, this lens, this filter, if you will, in front of us. It's an invisible filter. But we go into every new situation, and we're carrying, as you said, Dr. Michelle, all of this accumulated baggage. And I don't mean that it's all bad, but it's our stuff.
Oh,
and so we go into a new situation, and we look at it through the eyes of me.
Exactly. It's true. That's the way it is.
And it's... And I think what people, you know, what it's hard to grasp is I want to, when you and I are having difficulty in relationship, I want to make it about you.
Right.
That's our tendency. I really want to make it about you.
Right, right.
And what I think a lot of us don't see and why it's the first secret is, you know what, it's really about me. You know, what's going on with me in this relationship? What filter am I putting on you? If I've had a few experiences with you, it's like, I quote-unquote know what to expect. You know, I know what you're going to do next time. In a way, I don't even give you a chance to be a different person or have a different experience because I call it, you know, that we keep bringing our me into every situation.
Right,
so everything we look at is through the eyes of me.
I think that is so true. And what you suggest, what I really like in this chapter too, is you talk about stepping outside of yourself. And it's kind of learning the art of somehow stepping outside of ourselves and concentrating, focusing on what the other person is saying. You know? And it does take practice. Like you said, it's not easy. It's kind of difficult sometimes. But, you know, in order to make any change more permanent, we have to practice it on an ongoing basis. But it's great skills for people and having continued relationships. So,
and it's funny that you key on that part, Dr. Michelle, because I like to talk about almost, I say if we can start to almost become like a detective in our own lives.
Yes.
You know, it can become somewhat interesting. You know, you think about how we do try to teach people active listening and the I feel messages and all of this.
Right.
But the truth is, you know, we still are so focused on, am I doing this right? Am I listening to you? Am I feeding this back? Me, me, me.
Sure.
The thing about being the detective is it's more this curiosity. It's, what's happening in this exchange? What's going on?
Right.
Why am I having that experience of you?
Yes.
So it's interesting because I think it's just a bit, you know, it's the same types of things that we're trying to get people to do with active listening, which is a focus on the other person, but it really is all about continuing to drop our preconceived ideas, our judgments, our assumptions. And, you know, it is hard work, but the truth is when you're in the middle of an exchange and you can do that, I think there's no greater feeling of power. You know, you feel like, wow, I just broke out of a mold,
yes,
you know,
yes,
that I've been
exactly
in with somebody, and now we have a real chance at a relationship.
I think that is so true. And I think if more people get it, and we'll go into that. Let me just tell you, folks, if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Beverly Flaxington, and she's the author of the book we're talking about right now. It's called Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior, here on LA Talk Radio. So we're moving on. We're just talking about, it's all about me and trying to understand. This is the first secret in understanding. And how do you kind of help out that? Beverly said you watch others. You become an interested observer in human nature. And you watch your own reactions. You say to yourself, how is this person? How am I reading? How am I getting this person, perceiving this person? And then what I like too, Bev, is you talk about recognizing your own triggers. You know?
Yes.
What's that about? What's that about?
I think, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we can all think of relationships. Yeah. You know, certainly I've been on vacation this week with my family. Family's a great place to start.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you have a relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, either that person's so close to you that they know how to push your buttons.
Yes.
Or you realize, you know, there's certain things. And you can just, and again, if you become an interested observer, you can watch it happen where you know they're going to say something. You
yes.
know it's going to set you off. You're going to get into the same cycle. So when you know what triggers you, again,
see, I
like to think of it, Dr. Michelle, as having choices. You know,
right.
I just want to have more choices, and so I'm not unconscious about how I'm reacting.
Exactly.
So if I know what my trigger is, and I know when, you know, my daughter says this, my husband says that,
right.
my sister says this, I can see, okay, that's a trigger for me. You know what? I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to react this time.
That's right.
So those are actually fun to work with, because if we are willing to look at them, we all have them, and that
sure.
can sometimes be the easiest place to start, because
exactly.
they're so predictable.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And it's funny when couples come in to see me sometimes, you know, it's almost like I have a thing where I call it detoxing the drama, because they know each other's triggers and they kind of get going on that, you know, that they push each other's buttons just to get a little excitement out of the relationship. And that's pretty, you know, unhealthy. So. You
and
know?
You're probably watching, though. You can almost predict after a while.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, in some ways, we're humorous about it. It's not so funny when we're in the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when we can step outside of it and see how predictable we are sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, again, it's just about choice, and it's about saying, hey, you know what? You're not going to push my buttons this time. Let me dig deeper into what it is that's going on with you
exactly.
so I can understand you more fully.
Exactly. And maybe just kind of pull back, like you said you do, which is great. You just kind of pull back. You don't knee-jerk react to it. You just kind of pull back, go, okay, this is one of my triggers. It's kind of predictable. I know how I usually respond when my mate or my child or my whoever talks to me like this, my sibling, and I'm going to just pull back and kind of think about it and maybe talk about it to that person a little bit and say, wow, I really react when you say that. And maybe, why do you say that? Do you like to get a reaction out of me? You know? So.
Well, isn't it? It's so funny because we do respond in the same way, and it's as if we expect a different result.
Yeah.
But I think any of us that have been in the dynamic in a relationship, you know you're not going to get a different result.
Right.
The only way you get the different result is to try to recognize, okay, what's going on with me, and then put my focus on, all right, if I really want to understand you, I think there's nothing that all, you know, any of us wants more
yeah.
than to feel like we're understood by somebody.
It's really
so
true.
So that's my passion about it, you know?
That's awesome. No, that's so important. So let's move on. We're talking about understanding other people, folks, the five secrets to human behavior with Beverly Flaxington. She's the author. And we're talking about secret number two. Secret number one was, it's all about me. Secret number two is that behavioral styles come between us. Oh, my gosh, is that true? Tell the listeners a little bit more about that, Bev, if you can. Yeah.
This is work that I learned about in my consulting work that I do about 15 years ago now, and it's
yeah.
based on a tool that was developed some years ago. And I'll tell you, when I learned this, talk about the aha, all of a sudden,
yeah.
so many difficulties became so clear. Mm. So this is really about how we have our different styles of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
I may be a fast talker, a fast thinker, a fast mover. You're slow. I am getting so frustrated because you're not moving at my pace.
Yep.
You are getting so tense because I'm moving so quickly and not slowing down for you. These types of things, it's the way that we our behavior comes out in our communication. And it's almost a joke in a way. You know, they do this research every year that proves that we like people like us. And why is it? Well, because it's so much more comfortable. You and I can connect if our styles are the same and we communicate the same way. If we're different, though, I'm working very hard and so are you, and we're just feeling as though communication is not flowing. But what happens is, again, I want you to change. I want you to connect to my pace. I want you to use the words I use. I want you to verbalize as much or as little as I do. And when you don't do it, I'm frustrated with the relationship rather than recognizing that this is something that's just really built in.
It's hard.
You're not doing it on purpose. You know,
this
is just your style.
That's right. And everybody learns their style. It's a, you know, who knows what it's from, but I mean, it definitely is from the family and how we learn from our parents or our, you know, our authority figures growing up. And again, like you said, it's hardwired. It's biological as well. It's just the way we are. It's the high D and the low D, as you call it. Now, my husband's a high D. Can I tell you that right now? And I'm a middle to low D. So, you know, maybe you could explain what does that mean to the listeners?
That's the thing. And the thing about the high D, low D dynamic, each of the scales has an emotion, as I talk about, which actually makes it easy for us to recognize. Well, the D is anger. So those high D folks, boy, you get in their way when they want to get something done or they can't complete something. You know, they get mad, and that's the problem. You know, it's not so much he's mad at you. He's just frustrated.
He's frustrated.
But it feels to the low D like, why the heck are you yelling at me? And again, that's where the dynamic. So you're saying, calm down. And he's saying, I am calm. I just want to get this done.
And I just want to get it out. And I have to verbalize, you know, I have to verbalize my frustration. And I have to just, you know, I have to get it out. And the other person's saying, well, okay. And you are right on. The low D person says, you're yelling at me. And it's not true, really. I mean, that other person who wants to take action, find out results, get to it, you know, they just need to find out what's going on.
That's why I think it can be fun for people with this book, Dr. Michelle. You know, you can show it to the spouse and say, hey, I mean, it's really not personal. This is just who I am. So can we come up with a better way to do this that works for both of us?
It's really true. I love that. And it's how you interact with others. So we talked about secret number two. Again, it's behavioral styles do come between us. And you have to recognize that, like you said, they're really different styles. And you have different, besides the D factor, you have the high S versus low S. What is that about?
That's what we call that the steadiness and work environment. It's a pace scale. The behavioral styles are about problems, which is the D, people, which is I, pace, which is S, and procedures, which is C. And each of us on each scale have a tendency where we're very strong on that scale, or on the lower, or, you know, more moderate. So pace is an interesting one, because there are people who need time to process, need to be able to have things in some kind of logical order, need to be able to be thoughtful, non-emotional, keep calm. And then there are people that are all over the map. They want to shake things up. They want to be very emotive. They want things to change. Oh, my gosh, you put those two people at different ends of the scale together, a lot of difficult emotions. The higher S is feeling it internally because they're stoic. The lower S is showing it externally because they're just moving so quickly.
And again, it's not to say, you need to change for me. You know, it's understanding that communication and that style of just behaving all their lives. Somehow, sometimes I try to help couples come together somehow, you know, understand each other's styles and try to try to maybe modify a little bit how they're reacting so the other person doesn't go way off the other way and just kind of understand it. But, and I think an important word here is just allowing. Allowing that other person to have their style and their the way that they respond and react and express and all that.
I love that word. And, you know, it's funny when we work with this tool, Dr. Michelle, so many people will feel like, well, did I do it right? You know, what's the right way? Well, the truth of the matter is, you know, there's strengths and then there's the underbelly of every style. So there is no wrong or right. It's just different. So I love that idea of allowing, because that's the thing. I can't change. It really is who I am.
Right.
I can adapt so that we can communicate. But I am who I am, so if you don't let me be who I am, it's almost like you're not accepting me as a person, and that's just really painful for us.
It really is. It's really true. And by the way, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Beverly Flaxington. She's the author of this really great book that I had the opportunity to read recently. It's called Understanding Other People, The 5 Secrets to Human Behavior, and she has each chapter with a secret. So we're moving on to secret number 3 for understanding human behavior, and this one's great. This one is values speak louder than you do. And what are you kind of putting to the readers in this chapter?
This is an interesting one. So behavior, we talked about, you know, you're fast, you're slow. In a way, I can observe it, I can see it. I call values under the covers, but yet they speak so loudly. This is really what we care about. You know, so let's say I'm somebody, I have a high theoretical value. I love knowledge. I want to learn. I'm on a quest for the truth. I'm a truth seeker. And let's say, Dr. Michelle, you know what, you don't have that value. In fact, that for you is a bottom-of-the-barrel kind of value.
Right.
You and I are trying to make a decision on something, and I'm talking about the importance of really getting to the bottom and learning and having some time to be in this, you know, well, you just have absolutely no time for me because that makes no sense to you.
Right.
And so the problem with values, we don't necessarily express them. I don't say to you, hey, look, Dr. Michelle, this matters a lot to me.
Right.
This is the way I'd like to approach it. And you say, well, Bev, I don't really care about that.
Right.
You know, we argue about what we're trying to decide on. And that's why I call it values speak more loudly. You know, you and I are arguing over something that is values-based, but we're not talking about the values.
Right, exactly. And you have, like, core values like utilitarian and individualistic, theoretical, social, aesthetic, and traditional. And these all sound really, you know, extremely intellectual. But, I mean, what I love is that you break it down and you really define each one of these core values. And we can go, wow, yeah, I have that. Yeah, that's kind of how I am. And, you know, I'm a social person. I'm a theoretical. I love to learn, and that's how I look at things. I'm driven by ego, individualistic, like you mentioned politicians, which I love. And, you know, the return investment person, you know, what kind of a return am I going to get on this particular situation? Or the aesthetic is looking for beauty in the world. You know, and the traditional or more religious people talk about the right way to do things, you know, and none of these, I think, you know, there's no judgment. You're not coming from a judgment. It's just the way people, you know, think. It's their core values and how they approach the world and people in general.
So. That's exactly right. And values are very difficult for us to stay away from judging because we really do believe at the core that our values are the right ones. So I guess I'd go back to your word, which I really love, which is about allowing. You know, we spend so much of our lives trying to change the other person's mind. And my whole point here is just drop it because you're not. So, you know, make a quest to try to understand why do they have that viewpoint. You're not going to change to their viewpoint.
Yeah.
But at least you understand this is what we're arguing about. So
exactly.
Can we come to some kind of compromise?
Right. And no judgment. It's just, okay, I get where you're coming from because of whatever. and this is where, those are my kind of values and this is how I view situations. So, let's just try to work both of these together, and then that's a good thing. So now we're going to move on again to number 4, and we have the secrets to helping understand human behavior. And this is, of course, in the next chapter. It's secret number 4, folks, and you can learn this by reading this book. And it's Don't Assume I Know What You Mean. This is one of my all-time favorites, Bev, in talking to people. I think we just lost her, and we're going to have her call us back because I think we just dropped the line. Hold on. We just lost the connection. Okay, we're going to wait for Bev to call back, and we're going to get the connection again because I really need and want to talk to her. Obviously, she's on not on a landline because she's in Virginia. She's traveling. She's on the move. But anyway, we're going to get her back up again on the line. But in chapter number 4, she's talking about something called Don't Assume That I Know What You Mean. Don't assume that I know what you mean. Now, this is one of my all-time favorite concepts, especially with a lot of clients. Okay? But really, it's understanding that other people are not you, and then allowing, you know, this information for you to become more successful of a communicator. Now, so far you said it's all about me, and we're moving into secret number four, which is don't assume I know what you mean. Now, let's see if there you are again, Bev.
Yes, I'm afraid I had some kind of cell breakdown. I left you there in suspense with the last two secrets.
That's okay. I've been building up to don't assume I know what you mean. Secret number 4. That's one of my favorites because my
Isn't this a great one?
Yes. If you could tell people more about that, I would love it because I love the way you explained it in your chapter 4.
Oh, this is one that I have to say is such a personal passion of mine. I've worked with salespeople throughout my career. I have coached, you know, executives. I've coached people that are, you know, looking for jobs in, you know, in my hypnosis work. And it's just the same theme that comes through over and over, which is I just expect that you have the same understanding, the same basis of knowledge, the same viewpoint, the same everything that I do. So I'm going to go into our exchange together, assuming that you know what I mean. So when you don't get it, what's wrong with you?
Right, right. And it's what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? Don't get me, you know.
Well, and I say, you know, we tell people, you know, walk a mile, the old Indian saying, right, in somebody else's moccasins. Well, I like to say in the book, I don't know those moccasins. They don't fit me. You know, exactly. I can't walk in them. I haven't had the experience. So if you really want me to relate with you, take the time to help me to, I call it, give me a window into what it is you want me to understand.
Yes, exactly. What I see is couples sometimes in my practice who come in and, you know, it's like, I tell them, like you suggest, help me to understand you, you know, and that means it take responsibility to explain your needs and your thoughts and your concerns, you know, and then you make sure that they're conveyed so the listener, the other person can follow. And do you understand what I mean? You say, do you understand what I mean? And have them reflect back to you. Yeah, I guess what I'm getting is, and have them reflect back to you. That's so important.
And, you know, I talk about an example in the book, and I'll tell you from just my own experience where, you know, I may get into some kind of a debate with my husband, I'll say debate because we're not agreeing about something, and, you know, I go away and I think about a different way to come at it where let me share a little bit more understanding, and it's just amazing. I can watch the aha happen on his side of things. That's what you've been meaning?
Yeah.
All of a sudden we're having a different discussion, and yet we're the same people. So it's so interesting when you take the time.
Yes.
And I always say, I feel as though if you aren't willing to take the time to help me without making assumptions, in a way, don't bother communicating because you're not giving me a chance.
Exactly. Don't assume. Do not assume what I'm thinking because it's all within you and it's your stuff, you know? And if you don't understand, you know, say it again. You know, just can you kind of put that another way? I'm still not getting it. I'm still thinking you're thinking this, you know? Yeah. So that,
exactly. That's we really do, though, I think, especially with the people close to us, we want them to read our minds. We don't know oftentimes what we really mean.
Exactly. I there's this one client who I used to have all the time. They would say things, and because I'm a psychologist, he would assume that I knew how he was feeling or saying, and I'd say, what exactly? Now, can you rephrase that? Can you kind of tell me from another point of view, or how do your loved ones perceive you when you say that? And he'd say, why do you keep asking me? What am I saying? I'm telling you what I'm saying. So I'm trying not to assume.
See,
yeah.
And I will say to all of your clients, yeah. Dr. Michelle, that you're an excellent psychologist Aww. Because the truth is, you don't want to put your understanding on someone else.
No.
You want to understand what do they mean by it.
Well, thank you for that, Bev. I sure appreciate it. And I'm going to give you a plug right now. We're talking to Beverly Flaxington, if you just tuned in. People, she's the author of a great book. It's called Understanding Other People, The 5 Secrets to Human Behavior. This will help you learn how to stop being frustrated by the actions of others and kind of start taking charge of your own life. And I love that idea you have, Beth, about, you know, responsibility. You know,
yes.
Way too many people come in and say, well, they did this and they're doing that. And I'm hurt because they are doing this. And it's like, hello. You need to take a little responsibility for these assumptions and these feelings and these expressions and behaviors. So that's a biggie. So let's go.
Yeah.
I love this in chapter number 4. You know, you help folks learn how to cease to assume. That's a really hard thing to do, to get out of that assuming thing. How would you express that people stop assuming? It's hard to do that. It's kind of, you know.
It really is. And, it, you know, some of it really is about that, you know, kind of I call it dropping the filter. But, you know, going into every exchange with someone as if it's the first time and almost pretending that they don't know you.
Yes.
So, because, again, we assume that because we've known someone, they know about us, they know why we're saying this. And so I think there's really no other way to do it than to, you know, and I call it dropping your assumptions
mm-hmm.
and also letting, you know, pretending as if it's new. So let me give you the background, let me give you the explanation,
mm-hmm.
and then let me check in with you and make sure, exactly as you said, are you understanding this? Can you help me? Can you feedback? What? Because I'm not sure if I'm being clear.
Right.
You know, we put the other person in a position where it's embarrassing for them not to act like they know. So we almost have to be able to say, can you help, you know, what am I saying and is this making, what are you hearing from me? And help
yes.
them to help us
yes.
to make sure that that communication is flowing.
Yes, exactly. And I love that you say commit to never assuming again that somebody else will understand what you mean. Without taking
yeah.
the time to help them understand. No shorthand, no clipped phrases, no straight, and I love this one, strangely worded emails or texts. Those are so, you know, it's like, what? You know? It's really, don't, yeah. And, you know, we don't always have to on the moment and constantly be, what did you mean? But try to, at some particular time, clarify and understand what someone is saying. Don't just jump to assuming. And usually, you know what I found is when people assume, Bev, they go to the bad side. They're always they're assuming the negative, usually, you know.
Oh, I have a colleague, and I love, she'll say this to people,
yeah.
you know, when she goes in and does these training sessions, and she'll say, if you're going to make something up in your head,
yeah.
you may as well make up something positive.
You know?
But we don't do that.
No, we don't. Isn't it always, yeah, it would be great if we could always assume, sometimes rarely we do, that when we assume something about where other people are coming from, that it's good. Wouldn't that be great
well,
if we always did that?
And, you know, as you know, I'm a hypnotist, and,
yeah.
and we have, you know, neuro-linguistic programming is a form of hypnosis, and
yeah.
there is a whole basis to that, which is assume positive intent, which
yes.
basically says that I may be doing something that looks negative, but
right.
probably yeah. my motivations are positive, in the sense that either I'm trying to get attention, I'm trying to impress you, I'm trying, you know, fill in the blank, but
yes.
I'm probably not trying to be an offensive person.
Right.
It
right.
may be coming across that way, but that's probably not what my intention is. So if we can kind of drop it and say, all right, well, what really is going on here?
Yes.
Again,
yes.
you know, we give other people a break.
I love that idea that you can all, I mean, people, when they think about, and I'm just going off the side here, people think that you can use hypnotism, of course, for stopping bad habits, smoking, weight loss, anxiety management, you know, behavioral things, but the thought processes as well. I love that idea that you can help people with their thoughts by, you know, with hypnosis and self-hypnosis, teaching them that as well, is how to stop going to the negative. Because so many times we do in our world, in our exposure, the media is all about negative most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be great to watch the news or the entertainment channels without putting someone else down or ridiculing someone or finding disaster in the world. So it's so difficult to fight that, you know, in our everyday thought process. So hypnotism can help. Maybe people change their...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And absolutely. And, you know, it's back to the, as you've been talking about, Dr. Michelle, awareness. You know, that we're aware that that's what we're doing.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, folks, you know, Beverly is, along with being a corporate consultant in her own business, since 1995, she's a college professor, professional behavior analyst. Like I said, she's a certified hypnotist. So she's been doing this for over 15 years. So she knows her thought processes and how to manage them. So this is, with this book, it'll, you know, by her teachings and with her background, she can really help you understand human behavior. I want to jump on to chapter number 5, which is secret number 5. And that's, I'm okay, you're most definitely not okay. I love that. I love it. And that's what I'm talking about with the people who come in and say, they did this to me and they always hurt me and they're horrible. And they're, So anyway.
And that's, you know, what we don't understand that we do. And we are all guilty of this.
Yep.
And I will absolutely admit myself, you know, to falling into this.
Yep.
In order, because sometimes inside, fundamentally, you know, we don't feel really good inside about who we are. So what's the easiest thing to do?
Right.
Break you down.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Point the finger at you. Talk about how you're doing this and you're doing that. Because somehow that can make me feel like I am superior. Now, the truth of the matter is, inside, it doesn't really work.
Right.
But it is a mechanism, and it's a way that I think many people come to say, well, I must be, it is him. It's not all about me. It's all about him. He's the problem. She's the problem. And I think if we could just, you know, in a way, I talk about, as you know, in the book, you know, giving yourself a break and giving the other people a break. You know, most of us really are trying to do the best we can do with what we have at the moment.
Yeah. We really are. And I agree to that. And, you know, unless, you know, there's like one of the antisocial personality types or something, you know, the criminal minds who are always trying to be devious and find out. But that's a very rare population, you know. I agree with you, Beth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I do try to, you know, talk about that because that's a real thing, Dr. Michelle. I mean, there are people who are in very abusive situations. There are people that are confronting things that, you know, this is not a Pollyanna, the world is beautiful, rose-colored glasses, everyone is wonderful.
Yeah.
There are
very
difficult people out there. But what I think we need to understand is, you know, what role am I playing in this and what choices do I have? We tend not to see that we have choices.
Yes.
We just say, that person's problem, I'm stuck.
Right.
I don't have anywhere to go, nothing I can do, it's them. And I'm just trying to encourage people to say, you know what, and sure, a lot of it is them, but what's happening with you?
Yeah.
And learning something about that so that you can have more choices.
Yes, exactly. And you know what else I love is in the last secret, I'm okay, you are most definitely not okay. You know, you suggest that people kind of step outside their theater several times a day. You know, we talked about putting on the hat of the detective a little bit earlier. And, you know, dropping your need to be right, you know, and be more interested in what's kind of happening, what's going on between you. Wow, this is an interesting, conversation. This is an interesting feeling I'm having. And just kind of start seeing what's happening in your life objectively. You know, I love that, with a desire to learn. I also love the idea, you say, recognize that you're okay. You know, you're just where you need to be. You're just where you need to be right now. And in this point in time, just, you know, if we don't be okay. You know, don't keep giving, get off your own back. In other words, give yourself a break.
Yes.
Isn't it,
we put these things on ourselves, and you must see this with couples because I think it's such a dynamic in interpersonal relationships, you know, this desire to be right, and, you know, really at what cost?
Right.
So at the expense of the relationship, it's really more, instead of wanting to be right, how about, let me give myself a break, let me give you a break, and
exactly.
let's just try to at least start by understanding each other. Forget
right.
about trying to even resolve anything here. Let's just start about trying to understand each other, but let me try to come to you. You know, in a way, I like to think of it just in terms of kindness, you know, practicing a little bit of kindness with
right.
yourself and
yes.
with other people.
Exactly. And I love that. In your last chapter, you say, well, it's the chapter about the fifth secret, giving others a break, too. None of us are perfect. Most people are trying their best. And if you can get to that place, you know, you say, imagine how your life would change if you just repeated that mantra every day. I know you're trying your best. I know they're trying
yeah.
their best. Instead of when someone's talking to you or angry or, you stupid, you know, you're God, you know, just be patient. Say, you know what, I guess they're doing the best they can right now. And that's...
Can you imagine, you know, some relationship where you're having difficulty, if tomorrow you decided, you know
yeah.
what, when that person starts doing their thing,
yeah.
I'm just going to say to them, you know what, I know you're doing your best. Let's try to figure this out. Talk about breaking down the defenses.
That is really breaking down the defenses, and that's great. And, you know, I know what my son would say to me if I say that to him is Jewish guilt. He's gonna say, oh, Mom, you're laying it on good. And I'll say, no. Nope. I know you're doing your best, you know? I know you're doing your best, kid, but anyway, so. But it's such an important factor. I know you're doing your best right now, and I'm not going to jump on you. I'm just going to say, okay, it's a little loud for me. I just need you to lower the voice, and we'll talk about this a little later, and we'll get clear on it. Let's just, you know, chill out a little bit. So putting
exactly. I mean, I, you know, the bottom line is, if even if just given and during any given day, you know, we could just practice. And again, you know, I'm really not Pollyanna. I happen to be pretty high D. I'm a corporate
yeah.
person.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, so this is really not about, you know, everybody holding hands and
yeah.
singing together. But it
yeah.
really is about just trying to, you know, be more realistic
right.
about what we expect of ourselves and what we expect of others.
Yeah.
I don't call it being Pollyanna. I really call it's more realism. You
yes.
know, we're living in a way in this, you know, these fake relationships we've set up, and let's just try being a little bit more real with each other.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. And, you know, these ideas and these steps that you have put out there, which really are, I mean, they're based on research, psychological research, cognitive behavior, the way we all are hardwired in certain ways, the ways we deal with each other. And there are personality types, and there are, you know, behavior styles and all that. And nobody's alike, and everybody has old triggers. And oh, my goodness. But, you know, being patient with each other is so important. And just allowing, like we talked about, that's really a great thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me just say, folks, we've been talking to Beverly Flaxington. She's the author of this great book. It's a really good read. It's a flowing, helpful read as well. It's called Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior. Bev, if you could tell folks how they may be able to get your book, and also if they have any questions, if they can get in touch with you, where can they reach you?
Right now, the book is available on Amazon.com, and it's also available on my own website, which is understandingotherpeople.com. So
great.
As if it's one word, www.understandingotherpeople.com.
Great.
We're in the process of getting it into the other major bookstores, but right now it's on Amazon and on my own site. And anybody is certainly welcome to send me an email at beverly@the-collaborative.com. That's my business, Beverly at the-collaborative.com. Or go on the Understand the Other People website, purchase the book, and then there's also contact information in the book.
Right. Oh, right. Perfect. Beverly, thank you so much for being my special guest today. Your book's great, and I really appreciate and hope, I'm sure my listeners got a lot out of it. And maybe now they can, you know, pick up the book and understand the five secrets to human behavior.
Well, you are absolutely delightful, Dr. Michelle. Thank you so much for letting me have the opportunity to talk. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, Bev. Have a great vacation and take good care. Much success to you.
And thank you very much. Thank you.
Take
care. Bye now.
Bye-bye now. All right. That was great. That's great. That's Dr. Beverly Flaxington again, and her book is Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior. Now, if you'd like more information on this, you can sure get the information. You can just email me if you'd like. It's docmichelle, D-O-C Michelle, at AOL.com. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. Also, if you would like to check me out, you can do so on my website. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy. I just abbreviate it. I just Dr. Michelle with two L's therapy. At AOL.com, Dr. Michelle Therapy at AOL.com. That way you can, you know, find out more what I'm about, which is much of what Beverly was talking about today. Some of the secrets to human behavior, taking responsibility for yourself, being a little bit more open, you know, and honest, losing a little bit of the ego, not getting so hard on yourself. Don't get so hard on other people. Try to shut up and not respond briefly and quickly. Try to not assume what others are thinking, you know, and all of these ideas are also on my website. You can find out more about how to help yourself. And of course, like I said, if you ever have any questions or comments, you can find me at docmichelle@AOL.com and email me. Let me know what you thought of the book, if you had a chance to read it. And also, one of the most important things I always tell you when I have to go, which is right now, is do take care of yourself first. It's not an ego thing. It's an airline thing, you know? If you don't put your oxygen mask on first, you're not going to be able to help other people. So do that. And do have a great day, always. Just Dr. Michelle, have a wonderful one. And you can stay on the couch if you like. I'm so happy you joined me today. Bye-bye.
Flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. Oh, wouldn't I?